Hi, I'm here with Lord Digby Jones.
Hello.
We're talking Brexit.
Thanks for having me, Will.
So, Digby Jones, what's your take on Brexit? What does it mean for Guernsey? What does it mean for the UK?
Well, I think whoever it was in the Guernsey administration that negotiated on behalf of us all in its relationship with the EU post-Brexit played a blinder. I think they really did well. They exploited the fact that they hadn't thrown their hat in the ring to do it as the Channel Islands. I think that was an excellent call, which was some months ago now. I think they have, by and large, said, we can, you can come into more of our waters, fishermen, but can we have some nuclear-generated green electricity on our direct connector so we're not reliant on it coming via Jersey? And we're more self-reliant in that respect. And then it's turned out that, yes, we can still land our fish. We can catch it, land it, tariff-free, in France. I think, you know, in many ways, with 65,000 people and Berlin and Paris and Brussels and London will see us as a rounding error. But that has played to our advantage because we don't matter that much in might terms, but we obviously it matters hugely to us. And I think we played that well. I think the global nature of the 21st century in economic terms, you know, this is a global race. This is not Europe's race or Britain's race. It's not even America's race. It's the pivot is to Asia. And how the developed economies of the Western world, if I may use the word, that said with respect to Australia and Japan, both of which I call the developed world for this purpose, how they exploit the growth in Asia over the next 80 years of this century will define success or failure. And therefore, I think Boris Johnson played it really well. I think the penny dropped on the Tuesday of that week before Christmas when Angela Merkel and von der Leyen, the Commission President, who is German, suddenly realised, oh my God, he means it. They're going to come out without a deal. And if you remember, Boris made a couple of speeches and stuff about it would be fine without a deal and all that stuff. And he talked about Australia terms, by which he meant WTO. I mean, he was serious. And I think the penny dropped and they thought, oh no, we don't want this. We really don't want this. And I think Germany then flexed its muscles. You know, it's not an anti-German thing to say that what Germany wants, Germany gets. That's because Germany pays for it. And if I paid for it, I'd want it. So I don't, you know, I think Germans are damn good people in the way that they make stuff that's of quality and export it. But they obviously suddenly thought their big market, their most profitable market for manufactured goods in terms of margin, was about to go. And I think they put Macron and his posturing back in his box and got the deal done. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, for the biggest trade deal in history and the most important trade deal for 520 million people, because there is a businesswoman somewhere in Latvia who's going to make more money because of this, so we shouldn't think of it as one way. But that whole deal pivoted at the end on whether it was 3 years for transition on fishing or 14 or something. I mean, I know it's emblematic to Guernsey, it's hugely important, but actually in the great scheme of gross domestic product of the European Union, it's tiddly squat, and yet it was so totemic and it was so important, its symbols and in that it came down to that. I mean, it's interesting.
Do you expect the French in particular obviously to have difficulties? Do you expect some of the French fishing groups perhaps to kind of not be happy about the deal no matter what?
I think,
do you expect there to be some wrinkles in the road?
Yes, I think there are administratively wrinkles in the road simply because they can. I mean, the French have form on this. You know, they, if they can be obstructive, they are. Why? Because they like to say France matters more than Europe. France matters more than anything. And therefore, if we can assume a superiority by being obstructive, they will be. And it's, I mean, they've got form on this for hundreds of years, tens of years. I mean, and therefore, I think there'll be problems. But I think Guernsey's in a better place handle that than Jersey or indeed the UK, because a good example would be France have happily said to Guernsey fishermen, you can land your catch without tariff. That's a wonderful thing, and France obviously saw that as something to their advantage, because in return French fishermen can fish more in our waters than they worried they would be able to, and so I'm do I see it as plain sailing? No, I think France would never, I mean, it's going to be nothing like what they're going to do at the border of the Channel Tunnel when the madness ends and everybody gets back to trading. France will flex its muscles every so often, simply because it can. But the big loser there will be German export cars coming through the European network. So I would expect Berlin to have something to say about that, to be honest.
Now, you've been speaking at a Brexit event organised by law firm Carey Olsen.
Yeah.
One of the things you talked about was about making a choice for Guernsey.
Yeah.
You talked about riding both UK and European Union horses. What's your kind of, what choice do we have to make? Or is it not as black and white as that?
Well, I think the choices are black and white. As financial services and the handling of it develop over the next few months and years, because financial services intentionally by all parties was left out of the settlement on Christmas Eve because it was just going to make everything else too difficult because Britain was so huge in it compared with Frankfurt and Paris. And Europe wanted somehow to hobble Britain to help Frankfurt and Paris. And of course, that was never going to happen because it wouldn't have helped Frankfurt and Paris. It would have helped Singapore, Dubai, Mumbai, Shanghai and New York. So I think they were very sensible, everybody. Let's leave that out for another day. But as that develops, Guernsey will have choices. One would be it can hitch its wagon to the wagon train of London and forge a path that way. It can hitch its wagon to the wagon train of Brussels and forge a path that way. It can do something that's different to both of those and do it on its own. Or, I suppose, it could go to market as Team Channel Islands and do something with Jersey. I believe one thing that Guernsey has done brilliantly since the Second World War, and especially since 1972 when UK joined the EU, it has ridden one or two horses at the same time in the same race successfully. It has really played the field well. And I say this with great acknowledgement of my ignorance of the specifics, so I'm not pretending to know it all, but in terms of what I would call policy and concept, I would say don't hitch your wagon to Jersey. You know, you will be subsumed, you will be taken over. Do not do that. You'll end up with legislation which suits Jersey but not Guernsey. Make a virtue of the fact that we are different and try and get the best of both worlds. You've done it before many times, you can do it again. And then there is one other thing. Be a place for a quality of life. For, you know, Guernsey is far more concerned with the values of things and the price of things. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The courtesy, the decency, the security. Make the quality of life so good that the world's talent wants to come and live here, wants to bring their skills, bring their what they do here, and want to make it a place where they can make money, bring up their family in a thoroughly decent environment. So, you know, anybody who actually is listening to this and thinks, well, I've got nothing to do with financial services, you know, well, you have actually, because it's a huge revenue earner for the island. And the way you treat people in the street, the way that you help culture develop, the way that you ensure that we are green as possible economy, all add to the quality of life. And then we're attractive to people from the EU and from America and South Africa and Aussie and Kiwi and everywhere else. And we get good talent. Then we can start thinking, okay, how can we do this? That we can make the most of Asia, we can make the most of America, we can make the most of Europe because it's important. And we can make the most of London. How can we do that with innovation, with different products, different ideas, different treatments, and make one or two things? You only can get this if you go to Guernsey. Not if you go to the Channel Islands, but if you go to Guernsey.
So kind of summing up, concluding, Brexit is obviously a generational, historic event. There's no two ways about that. Do you feel optimistic about the next year, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 80 years, as you said, for Guernsey and for the UK, perhaps?
Yeah, I feel, you know, the short term in UK terms is going to take some getting used to. By the way, the EU are going to have to get used to the fact we're not there because we were a big payer and a big participant. So they're going to have to get used to that. And then that will colour their treatment of us, of UK, sorry. And I think that's one getting used to, but that's a short-term thing. The medium to long-term, I think, as long as Britain's democratically elected leaders take the economy into a globally competitive environment and win the fight in America and Asia, and Europe, of course, we've got nothing to fear and everything to gain. I think from Guernsey's point of view, it is exactly the same. Let's use our size to advantage. You know, we are small in number, but we're big in heart, and we're big in cleverness, and we've got great talent. And so I think it's one of the greatest opportunities we've got. Will it be easy? No. But, you know, I always say none of us like competition. It's the only thing that makes us better. When you know, everybody always lies, don't they? Say, oh, I'm not frightened of competition. Well, of course you are, because you have to do something about it. It doesn't matter whether it's your private life, your social life, your sporting life, your business life. No matter. Whatever you do in life, competition means you raise the bar. If Guernsey responds to this competition and raise our bar and do it in a constructive way and not a hunker-down way, don't legislate to hold people back. Legislate to promote people forward. And if you do that, we've got nothing to fear.